Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
8:36 Central African Time. Our Boniface, some beautiful nasheeds are being played there, alhamdulillah. And I join the time of the morning on parliamentary tunes by our very own Ahmad Mandur Sheikh Imam. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How do you sign a beautiful Sunday morning on Ramadan, or in Ramadan, Ahmad?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, it's a beautiful, mashallah, day in the city of Durban. But strange enough, I've noticed that the normal beachgoers, the crowds that you get, is nowhere near what we have this year. It seems like a lot of them have decided not to come down to Durban, particularly for the festive season. I'm not sure what deterrent is, whether it's the water, whether it's the economic situation that they find themselves in. But yes, indeed, you know, there's lots and lots of them on the beach, but I can assure you nowhere near the numbers that we normally have. So I think it would have an economic impact, a negative impact on the economy for Itegwini particularly. But of course, they are themselves to blame for the situation, the high levels of crime, the poor quality of infrastructure, the water crisis that you have here. So, yeah, you know, we all know that the crime rates in Durban is extremely high. Al-Aqsa, yes, the condemnation coming from all over the world, I must repeat. And, yes, I think a lot more needs to be done than just talk. And rest assured, more pressure is going to be put on the South African government now that we need to start acting. Now that we've passed the motion, in any event, I think it's the next step, because clearly, you know, instead of withdrawing, you know, the Israelis continue to build more and more settlements. So they have absolutely no intention whatsoever to withdraw or to recognize the rights of the Palestinian people. I mean, the attack on the Al-Aqsa Masjid is, it's not the first time. This is an annual occurrence at least, which is what they continuously do. And of course, I'm glad that many countries worldwide are coming and condemning them for that. The other major crisis that we seem to have is the research that has been done on the Pfizer vaccines and, you know, the reports that are unfolding currently indicate that indeed Pfizer needs to be taken to task. And the South African Health Regulatory Authority and South African and the Health Department needs to be dealt with accordingly. They're saying very little about it, doing nothing about it, okay? But you can see the damning reports that are coming. They say these things have been unsafe, they're ineffective. Many people have lost their lives as a result of these particular vaccines, something we've been raising, you know, time and time again. But, you know, the arrogance of SAHPRA, which we all know gets funded by the World Health Organization and these big institutions, so they clearly don't have the interest of the people at heart. You know, well, the Minister of Electricity, let's see what he says. He is now contradicting exactly what the President is saying. And, remember, the President is wanting to move completely and even shut down the power station, the coal-fired power station, in order to move to renewables. The Minister of Energy, Electricity, is now saying no way in the world does that exist. And so clearly he believes that coal should continue while we're looking at renewable energy, but you need a mix of both. The issue of the Gupta brothers, we know, well, South Africa has bungled once again. Seems like nobody even knew that this matter was coming up, no representation. And so the Guptas for now appear to have got away with it. So there's no arrests currently. I'm told they're living the high life somewhere in Switzerland. Whether the question is whether they were in prison in Dubai or not. But it also looks like Dubai has become a haven, you know, to protect and harbor criminals, you know. If you look at what's happening, particularly the gold smuggling between Zimbabwe and Dubai, and I want to tell you that if you interrogate this extensively, you're going to find that all the illegal gold mining that's taking place in South Africa, like we have said before, time and time again, involves big role players, influential people. And I can tell you that this illegal mining, which is big business in South Africa, is also going to be linked. You can see how the natural resources of the African continent and its countries are being looted right in front of the eyes of its citizens, and very little or nothing seems to happen as far as that is concerned. Well, these are just some of the things that is making headlines. We know Thabo Mbeki has been arrested together with his doctor girlfriend in Tanzania, very close to the Kenyan border. I'm not sure whether they were planning to escape to Kenya, but you saw his disguise. But despite that, you know, the world is a very small place these days. It's very, 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 very easy to get caught. The high levels of accident during this festive season is a matter for concern on our roads particularly. But Brother Shepherd, the high levels of murder through firearms is really concerning. The number of people that are getting gunned down and the number of criminals, you know, blatant robberies that are taking place, cash in transit, armed robberies, it's making it very, very difficult and a very insecure environment for our people to frequent, particularly now malls and restaurants and that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's a lot to worry about currently.
You know, Ahmad Maulana Rafiq has sent me a lovely article. You know, Jay Naidu, who was a senior minister in Mandela's cabinet in the first democratic elections. And Jay Naidu says, what happens to the COVID vaccine and the people that were injured? He says, South Africa needs another TRC. I mean, people that were injured and some of them that have lost their lives because of this COVID vaccine, or maybe because of COVID. We need a TRC, and many people need to apologize to those perhaps that were, you know what, maybe he's calling it, that were literally murdered. Ahmed, what's your thoughts?
Well, I must agree with him, but let me tell you, very little has been forthcoming from the Department of Health. I can assure you that I'm going to be putting a lot of pressure on them. You know, something we've done before, even with the ivermectin, and we've raised concerns about the vaccine. We've raised concerns on vaccines, which normally take 20 years or so to develop, you know, and to be tried and tested, and that has not happened. And every time we've done that, the Department of Health and SEPRA will come out in defense of these vaccines, because, of course, they are conflicted when they get paid and get funded by these institutions. But very importantly, even the issue of the injuries or deaths as a result of that, of these vaccines, was raised time and time again. And despite the fact that, you know, the Department of Health indicated that there is measures, there are those that will be compensated, and we hear very little or nothing about it. Because every time you have a case of that nature, they'll either tell you, no, that was cardiac arrest, had nothing to do with the vaccine. No, it was something else, nothing to do with the vaccine. How are you going to establish that when the entire system, the health system, is compromised? How are you going to establish that? So I think a lot of pressure needs to be put on here. And I want to be honest, not just on the vaccines. If you look at that Johnson & Johnson's baby powder, which is banned abroad, it's still being sold, even put on special in many of the shops in South Africa. Nothing happens about it. South Africa seems to be compromised, like many other countries, African countries particularly, as a result of the funding that they get from these institutions, these organizations all over the world. And that's the problem. They put their own interest before the interest of the people. Again, I think it's a matter that the people on the ground have to rise in their numbers. It's a similar thing and I've heard a lot of complaints from people about claims that were being rejected by Discovery and others. These people are all on their own, trying to fight these battles on their own. And there's no assistance that comes from government, no intervention, you know, to look at the matters on hand. So I think a lot is going on, and I think it's an opportunity, together with what is happening with the BRICS countries currently, all coming together to create an alternative. It's time for us to jump on that bandwagon right now and deal with all these things. Because let us admit, when there's disease, some people are benefiting from it. When there's civil unrest, somebody is benefiting from it. So in this case, there are people who benefited. If you look at the pharmaceutical industry, produced some of the wealthiest people in the last financial year in the research that was done. Those billionaires, the richest in the world, most of them became much richer because of the pharmaceutical industry and because of these vaccines and COVID and things. So what does it tell you? It is orchestrated, you know, to benefit some people at the expense of the other. Let us not forget the New World Order, the reduction in the population that they're talking about. America lost a lot of people. Do you think they care? Not at all.
Yeah, Meg, I'm looking at a message from your good friend Farooq Zakon. I believe you all, belong to a group where you all discuss social, economics, policies, and many things. And he says, Farooq says, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shafaz, Ahmed Mandur, Sheikh Imam. I've already raised the issue of Mango Airlines which you have taken up with Praveen Gordon. Also, a promotion of tourism with Patricia de Lille, namely the reduction of entry fees for South African citizens, less 50%. This will be a tremendous boon to tourism in this country. And that's a good point. Giving South Africans maybe give them 80% off, because encourage your locals.
It's important to note that currently, if you look at the festive season this particular weekend, and if you look at the drop in the number of tourists visiting Itegwini alone, remember last year and the previous years, these beaches were packed to capacity. You didn't find that this year.
Yeah, some of the issues that your good friend Farooq Sarkot has given me this morning. He says that you belong to a group where you are addressing issues like, the Praveen Gordhan and also Mango Airlines and promotion of tourism under the Patricia de Lille. And he talks about giving a 50% reduction. Ahmed, your thoughts on it?
Yes, very importantly, I think he raises concern about the airline industry. And we are having a problem. If you look at the price of air tickets currently, just between Durban and Johannesburg, or Durban and Cape Town, or Johannesburg and Cape Town, it is also exploited by the airline industries. I want to also say to people that every time you log into an airline website looking for a seat, you are telling them you are increasing the demand. The moment you do that, they automatically have a system where the demand increases to increase the price. So it's a disadvantage if you're going into these websites all the time. And sometimes we go into it 5, 6, 7 times because we are checking all the time to see where we can get. We go from one to the other one, come back to that one. We're doing a disadvantage because we are creating an environment for them to increase it, because they can see the demand is increasing, and so they're increasing the prices. But the problem we're sitting currently is that it's being exploited by this handful of airlines that we have. And it's time for people like Mango and things to be sorted out, South African Airways. But, we know with corruption and things, a whole lot has been going on. That's why the state-owned companies are in the state that they are in. And it's a disgrace that a country like South Africa can't have its own airlines, servicing its own people and the international tourists that are coming into the country. And we've had beautiful, and South African Airways, we used to be recognized as one of the best in the world, but look at what we have done to it. Look at Mango Airlines was providing an exceptional service, and look at what has happened to Mango. Very little is coming by the minister and the committee. So I think what is important is, yes, pressure needs to be put on. We need to know what is going on. We need these airlines back. We need more competition so prices can come down. As at yesterday, a ticket tomorrow between Durban and Cape Town is minimum 3,500 rand. There's no flights at all for tomorrow. And on Tuesday, it's about 3,500 minimum one way. sometimes you can pay the same amount to travel abroad. So you can see exactly what is happening. It's being exploited by the airline industry. And strange enough, Lyft's appearance had, in my view, had something to do with the demise of Mango. If I look at the turn of events and how Lyft came into being, who they are, what is their involvement in the current SAA saga, and everything, it looks like there's been, again, a deliberate attempt, you know, but one needs to investigate that thoroughly to see exactly what is going on. If you remember, Brother Shepard, we had a very lucrative route between Durban and Mumbai, or Bombay, we call it, but, you know, they call it Mumbai, they changed its names. But a very lucrative route. And then we had the interference, I'm told, by the Guptas and others, and the last moment, I think 5 minutes away from signing, Dudu Mieni pulled out of that deal. So, yes, I think we need to address these things. But, you know, there is so much going on. Eskom, Transnet, Prasa, Post Office, SAA, Mango, when it comes to state-owned entities. I don't think there's a country in the world that has got so many of its state-owned companies in the intensive care unit. I can understand one or two of them can run into trouble right and now and then, but not every single one of them. The Minister of Finance, in my discussion with him, when I asked him, how much revenue do we get? He says, nothing. All the state-owned companies we've got, nothing is coming. Then what is the purpose of it? You know, so my understanding is this, yes, it's for economic growth, job creation, but at the same time, they can be self-sufficient and bring revenue into the country like any other business, pays taxes and things. Yeah, we could get profits, but nothing is coming, nothing. In fact, I just keep bailing them out all the time. So I think it's very important for the country, particularly for tourism, right, Brother Farooq says, is to deal with these aspects. Because you've got to make travel cheap for people to be able to travel. Who's going to afford? Let's assume if you've got a family of four. A family of four, if they wanted to travel to Cape Town this weekend, it's going to cost them nothing less than 15,000 rand one way. 30,000 rand return in airfares alone. Leave alone everything else. Can they afford it with the current economic situation we find ourselves in? No, we can't.
And what's the price of buses, Ahmed?
Well, bus tickets are also gone up, but at the same time, I want to tell you, look at the risks you spend. Look at the number of incidents you're finding in these luxury bus service that you have between the different provinces. Look at the number of accidents. Look at the number of breakdowns you are having, and look at the condition of the infrastructure, the road that's putting added in. I can tell you the tickets are going up. One way, it's about 1,500, 1,700. But again, there too, it's based on as you keep checking in, you are increasing the demand. As you're increasing the demand, they know there's more demand, they're increasing the prices. So you can see exactly. So these markets are being exploited. Remember that the competition is even lower now amongst the bus companies after that Greyhounds city to city, all those contracts they pulled out. Once they pulled out, you have limited bus services as well. But I can tell you it's quite a task to get onto a bus to travel between Durban, given the weather, given the quality of the road. Look at the quality of the buses, the number of breakdowns. Then you've got incidents of taxi operators attacking them. There's so much to worry about. You know how often, Brother Jabbar, you see on the road that these buses are broken down and passengers have to wait for hours and hours to get a vehicle to come and fetch them and take them. So it's not an easy task. But again, it's something that we need to encourage. But in encouraging it, we need to make sure that there's quality buses. But also in doing that, we need to have a mechanism where you can check on these drivers every 200 kilometers or so. There must be a system, which I'm told you have abroad, which they will go into these machines and they will punch in the details. So when a traffic officer stops you, he will see that you have made a stop every 200 kilometers or whatever it is to rest for a few minutes so that there's no fatigue and tiredness. A lot of these accidents are caused because of them. So a lot of work needs be done. But you need capable, permitted ministers who must think that far. Unfortunately, I don't know whether they have time to think or whether they're just not interested in thinking. But you need to be innovative in order to create a more safe and secure environment, you know, for that industry to thrive.
Yes, Ahmed, we've run out of time, but alhamdulillah, great chat with you this morning. You have a lovely, mashallah, day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.